The Hebrew word for tabernacle is called Mishkan. On last week's broadcast, we began in the book of Exodus, chapter number 25, verse 8 and 9. Let me read verse 8 and 9 of that book once again, beginning in verse number 8. Hear the word of God. "And let them construct a sanctuary or a mishkan for me," the Lord says, "that I might dwell among them." We talked a lot about that last week, how the purpose of the tabernacle is that God, beloved, desires to be intimate with us. He says, "Build me this mishkan that I may dwell with you." And I spoke last week about the heart of God, and we miss this sometimes. We think of God as El Shaddai, as God Almighty. But we don't realize, beloved, is that not only is God Almighty, but He also is the most sensitive person in all of He is more sensitive than His entire creation. And He gets pleasure, beloved, out of us loving Him, out of us wanting fellowship with Him. It brings Him joy. That's why the Bible says that when one sinner repents, all the angels of heaven rejoice. And so we tried to really drive that home on last week's broadcast, that the Lord, beloved, gets pleasure when we say, "God, I love You. I want to obey You. I want to put You first." The Lord says, "Draw near to Me and I'm going to draw near to you, and I'm going to begin to share with you the desires of My heart." You see, the Lord said about Moses, He said, "I don't speak to Moses like I do other people." He says, "I speak to Moses like a man speaks to his friend. I speak with him face to face." Why did the Lord speak with Moses face to face? Because the Bible says Moses was the most humble man on all the earth. He loved God, and God can trust him then to share the depths of who he is with Moses. The Lord says, "I don't speak to Moses like I do the other prophets." He said, "I reveal Myself to the other prophets in a vision or in a dream, but not so with Moses." With Moshe, the Lord said, "With him I speak face to face, even as a man speaks to his friend." Why did the Lord speak differently to Moses? Well, it was all the grace of God, but it was because, beloved, the Lord could trust Moses. He could trust Moses with revealing more to him. And so it's the same thing with us. God desires to give us more. But the Bible says if God's going to give us more, we have to, first of all, beloved, love Him enough that He knows He can trust us. That's what the Bible says to us in Jeremiah, "You shall search for Me and you shall find Me if you search for Me," listen now, "with all your heart." God says, "You're going to find Me, but you've got to search for Me with all your heart." See, God desires for us to find Him. He desires to have fellowship with us. He desires, beloved, to reveal Himself to us. But He's not going to cast His pearls before swine, and He's not going to give what's holy to dogs. He's only going to give more of Himself, beloved, to us when we give, listen now, more of ourself to Him. The Lord says in Exodus 25, verse 8, "Build Me this mishkan. Build Me this tabernacle. Follow the principles that are in it, because I desire to be close to you." And by following the principles, beloved, that we can see are prophetically revealed in the Mishkan, in the tabernacle, by applying the spiritual principles that are connected with each piece of furniture in the Mishkan to our own life spiritually, what's going to happen, beloved, is we're going to be cleansed. We're going to be separated unto God. We're going to be brought closer to Him. Listen now, and He's going to reveal more of Himself to us, because remember, He said, "I want you to build this for Me." Once again, Exodus 25, verse 8, "that I might dwell with you." I want you to know that when you go down to lay down tonight in your bed, when you go to sleep tonight and lay down in your bed, I want you to know, Yadid, God, the Lord, wants to be closer to you. When you lay your head on your pillow tonight and you're lying in your bed, I want you to know that God, He's looking at you. He loves you more than you could know, and He wants to be closer to you. And as you turn your life over to Him, as you turn your heart over to Him, as you open up your heart to Him more and more, beloved, He's going to come closer and closer to you. And you're going to experience Him as a reality more and more and more in your life as you age. This doesn't happen in a moment. It doesn't happen in a day. It doesn't happen in a week. It doesn't happen in a month. It's a lifetime, but it's real. And as we follow, beloved, the prophetic applications that you're going to see revealed in the tabernacle, you're going to continue to ascend into the Lord's presence and into intimacy with Him. Now, the tabernacle, we're going to be showing some slides throughout the presentation. The tabernacle, beloved, was surrounded by a white fence. This fence was approximately 75 feet wide and 150 feet long, and it was about 7.5 feet high. Let me say it again. The white fence that surrounded the perimeter of the tabernacle was 75 feet wide, 150 feet long, and 7.5 feet high. Now, why did the Lord build a fence around the tabernacle? He's showing us, beloved, remember, every piece has spiritual application. Listen to what the Lord says in verse number 9 of Exodus 25, where the Lord starts to reveal to us the tabernacle. He says, I want you to build me this mishkan. I want you to build me this tabernacle that I might dwell with you. And listen to what he says in Exodus 25, 9. According to all that I'm going to show you as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, just so you shall construct it. And so the Lord instructed that there needs to be this fence around it. God told us exactly how long the fence should be, 150 feet long, how wide it should be, 75 feet wide, how high it should be. Every part of it's precise. Every part of it has application. None of it came into being, beloved, for no reason. It's all very, very specific. God is putting a fence around his tabernacle, and the tabernacle, beloved, is the place, listen now, of his presence. Remember, you're going to see that over the tabernacle for 40 years in the wilderness, there was a pillar of fire by night representing the manifestation of God's presence. And there was a glory cloud by day hovering over the tabernacle for 40 years, as long as it was in the wilderness. And in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle, between the two gold cherubim that were on top of the Ark of the Covenant, the literal physical manifestation of the Lord dwelt. You could literally see his glory inside the tabernacle in the Holy of Holies, ushering out of, beloved, that place between the two cherubim that were over the Ark of the Covenant. So the tabernacle, beloved, listen now, was the place of God's presence in ancient Israel. We know he's no longer abiding in buildings, but remember, in the Hebrew Bible, it was a shadow. It was a copy, the book of Hebrews tells us in chapter 9. Now the Lord is no longer abiding in a building called a Mishkan or a tabernacle, because now he's come to us in the person of his Son. And the Bible says what? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and you shall call him what? Emmanuel. God is now with us in the Spirit. But before the Spirit was poured out, remember Yeshua said after he had risen from the grave, before he had ascended to heaven, one of the women came to touch him, and Yeshua said, don't touch me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. And then later we know that on Pentecost, he had ascended to the Father previously, and at Pentecost, he poured out his Spirit. And so, beloved, now we are walking in the Spirit, because the Spirit of God has been poured out upon all flesh. But before the Lord poured out his Spirit on the day of Shavuot or Pentecost 2,000 years ago, God's Spirit wasn't poured out on everybody. If you wanted to come to be with God, you couldn't just sit in your living room and just say, thank you, Lord, that you're here, that you're with me, that you're in me. You couldn't do that then. There was a few priests and a few kings that had the abiding principle of the Holy Spirit with them. But in general, if you wanted to meet with God, you had to go someplace. It was this tabernacle. So the tabernacle represented, beloved, listen now, the dwelling place, listen now, of God. And so what we're looking here is, well, what are all these different pieces of furniture, and what does this pattern mean? What do these dimensions mean, beloved, Lord, about how it is that you're able to dwell with us today? And so the Lord says, I want you to follow this pattern, because it speaks of mysteries to you of how I can have fellowship with you. I'm no longer requiring you to go to a building, but the spiritual application that I'm going to show you works for you. It corresponds to your walk with me today. And so there's this fence. The Lord is showing, beloved, that people can't just approach God on their own terms. If you wanted to enter in, listen now, to the tabernacle, which is where the Lord literally dwelt, if you wanted to draw near to the Lord, beloved, you came to the tabernacle, because that's where his literal presence dwelt, and you couldn't just wander into the tabernacle. There was only one entrance, beloved, through this fence. Only one entrance in. And people today think they could just wander up to God, and they can basically have a relationship with God on their own terms. Even in the Christian church today, beloved, so much of the gospel, which is not the real gospel that's being preached today, isn't really the truth, because many sermons, beloved, that seem to be being preached today are more man-centered than God-centered. People are just approaching God, you know, any way they want to approach God. They're basically wanting to use God to make them wealthy and successful and to be all they can be. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with becoming all we can be in the Lord. We desire this. But, beloved, I want you to know that when people came to the tabernacle of ancient Israel to dwell with God, they didn't come there just so that they could become all they could be. They came there to worship a holy God. Jesus said, unless you lose your life for my sake, you'll not find it. People today, beloved, they want to make the Christian God a God that exists just to bless them. And the reality of what they're teaching and what their understanding is not that God is holy and we need to lose our lives to find him and that he himself is the great reward. But instead, what's being preached today, even in many Christian circles, is here's this God and he wants you to be all you can be and he just wants to bless you and he just wants to make you successful and he just wants to fulfill your destiny. All those things are true, but beloved, the problem with that message is it's not first about God. It's first about us. It's a man-centered gospel. People are coming to God on their own terms. They're using God. They're thinking, you know what? I want to be more successful, so therefore I'll come to God and I'll be successful. In the end, what they want is not God. They want to be successful, and they're just using the Lord as a means to an end, and that's not the real gospel. Yeshua said, many will come in my name. He said, and will mislead many. Beloved, it's deep in the church today. It's a gospel, beloved, of success rather than, beloved, the gospel of a holy God who's called us to himself and said, unless you pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. It's not a gospel, beloved, that teaches us how we can just be the best we can be. It's a gospel that teaches us to pick up our cross and die to ourselves, that we can receive more of Jesus and that the power of God can be more manifest through our life. It's in dying, beloved, that we live. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily, that the power of his resurrection might be released in me. So I'm saying here that this tabernacle, beloved, that was surrounded by the white fence had only one way in. It's a straight and narrow way. Yeshua said, straight and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Broad and wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that take it. So, for example, today, if you ask people if they believe in Jesus, many will say yes. But when you ask them about the Jesus they believe in, they begin to explain the Jesus they believe in, you begin to understand that the Jesus that they believe in, listen now, it's not the Jesus, hallelujah, beloved, of the Bible. It's a different Jesus. They call him Jesus. They think it's the Jesus of the Bible, but it's not the Jesus, beloved, that's revealed in the Word of God. The Jesus that's revealed in the Word of God, beloved, calls us into one way. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the door. I am the gate. He that enters through me shall be saved. It's the way of picking up the cross, beloved, denying ourselves, denying our own ambitions, denying our own pleasures, denying our own flesh to do the will of God. And so we see then once again as we study the pattern of the tabernacle, which the Lord showed us as the pattern for how to be intimate with him, the pattern as to how he could come close to us and dwell with us. We see, beloved, it wasn't a broad way. You couldn't just wander in from this direction and wander in from that direction and come anytime you wanted and do, you know. No, we came, beloved, they came on God's terms and they entered in through the one door and the one way. It's interesting that not only was this fence, beloved, 75 feet wide and 150 feet long, it was also approximately 7.5 feet tall. And archaeologists tell us that the average height of the ancient Israelites was only about 5 feet. I'm only about 5'6". So I guess compared to ancient Israel, I'm tall. You know, so when people call me short, I just say, well, I think I'm just built more in the image of Jesus, because the average, again, Jewish person of his day was just about 5 feet. At least that's what the archaeologists tell us. The reason I bring it up is because think about it. If the fence was 7.5 feet tall and the average Israelite was only about 5 feet, the average Israelite wouldn't have been able to see what was going on inside of the fence. He couldn't see over the fence, which was 2.5 feet taller than he was. And what the Lord is teaching us there, beloved, is that there is a separation between the Lord and a people, beloved, that are dead in their transgressions and sins. The Bible tells us, the book of Ephesians chapter 2, that outside of Jesus, we're dead in our transgressions and sins. We're unable to perceive the things of God. The Bible says they're foolishness to the unredeemed man. We don't see in the spirit. We think like the world, led by the world. So there's this fence, and the Lord is showing that, you know what, if you don't enter in through Jesus, the one door through that fence, you're going to be like those that couldn't see what I was doing, that were outside of that fence in ancient Israel where the tabernacle was standing. You might think you understand, but you'll be understanding, beloved, a gospel that isn't the real gospel. And so again, the fence and one door in through the fence. Now remember, Yeshua was very specific. He said, I am the door. He that enters through me shall be saved. Those that try to come in another way, the Lord said, are thieves and robbers. And I just made some very specific applications about that. People today that are naming the name of Jesus, but they're coming in a different way. It's not the way of the cross, beloved. And so Jesus, beloved, is the only way in to this place where the physical, literal, manifest presence of the Lord dwelt. Do you know today that Christian people, they're more connected, listen, they're more connected to human beings than they are, beloved, listen now, to the revelation that's contained in the Word of God. What do I mean by that? Remember, one way in to the tabernacle, only one small entrance in. Jesus also said, I am the way. He that enters through me shall be saved. He that tries to come in another way is a thief and a robber. Jesus said, straight and narrow is the way that leads to life. The Bible says there's no other name under heaven by which men can be saved. Jesus is the only way to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, he said, comes to God but through me. But what do many people do today that call themselves Christians? Beloved, they say that, you know, a person can be saved without knowing Jesus. Beloved, you can't back that up with the Bible. Straight and narrow is the way. Few there be that find it. There's no name under heaven by which men can be saved but the name of Jesus. Beloved, there is no way into heaven. There's no way into the presence of God except through Jesus. Just as there was no way into the tabernacle except through, listen now, the one gate. We have people today, beloved, that, you know, how many times, for example, have you been to a funeral? Let's think about this for a second. Let's get real for a second. How many times have you been to a funeral where the preacher didn't put the person that had just passed away in heaven? Have you ever been to a funeral where the preacher didn't put the person that just passed away in heaven? And yet you know the person that just passed away. They didn't love God. They didn't profess to love God. They never read the Bible. They never went to church. In no way, shape, or form did they identify themselves as a Christian. And yet here comes the preacher putting that person in heaven and saying that they're in a better place. Beloved, let's get real. Let's not be more concerned about offending others than we are, beloved, on standing, beloved, on the truth of God's word. No, beloved, everybody doesn't go to heaven. It doesn't matter if someone was a good person. If they didn't honor Jesus, if they didn't love Jesus, if they didn't pick up their cross through their life, seeking to grow in His grace, to put themselves to death, to obey Him. Beloved, they don't belong to Him. Unless you pick up your cross and deny yourself, Yeshua said, you cannot be my disciple. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, Yeshua said, it remains alone. Now, I've preached funerals before, beloved, where people, you know, and I told the person that asked me to preach, I said, listen, I cannot put your loved one in heaven. Now, I'm not going to put him in hell. That's not my job, praise God, to do that. But I'm not going to put somebody in heaven, beloved, that didn't follow the Lord from the best that at least I could tell, just because it made people feel good. So there's one door in, it's a narrow way, and it's Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Let's put Him first, beloved. Let's be more concerned about honoring God than we are about offending or hurting somebody else's feelings. Let's tell people the truth. And getting back to this funeral situation, does that really further the cause of the gospel when everybody, you have 100, 200 people, however many it is, sitting in a funeral? Everybody knows the person that just passed away. Everybody that knows that person, knows the person wasn't a passionate lover of Jesus. Maybe they were even antagonistic towards the things of God. Everybody that's sitting there knows it. And yet here's the preacher putting that person in heaven. How does that help the other 200 people that are sitting there? It doesn't help them. It hurts them. Because the 200 people that are sitting there are thinking, you know what? I don't love Jesus, but I'm going to go to heaven too. Because that preacher just put so-and-so in heaven. We know he never read his Bible. We know he never went to church. We know he never talked about Jesus. So if the preacher just put him in heaven, then I guess I'm okay too, they think. Even though they're also, beloved, dead in their transgressions and sins and need to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now, we'd be better off in saying this. I don't know where John is. I don't know where Mary is today. What I do know, beloved, is that no one goes to heaven except through Jesus. And what that means is we need to lose our life for his sake in order that we might find it. You see, there's a straight and narrow way into that tabernacle. One door, and there's still only one door for you today. One door for your family today. One door in for your parents today. One entrance in for your children today. For your neighbors, your coworkers, and those you care about. And that way, beloved, is Jesus. There was one entrance into that tabernacle. And there's one entrance into the Father's presence today. It's through His Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, that lived and died and rose again in our behalf. Let's stop compromising. Let's stop being so afraid of hurting people's feelings that we're not willing to tell them the truth. Let's lift up Yeshua HaMashiach, beloved, and let's be true witnesses and preach the gospel and do what Paul did, who said, there's no other name under heaven by which men can be saved but the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus alone, the Messiah.